And speaking of Russia, its president Vladimir Putin landing at the same time for a state visit to India. India, which has been braving attempts by the West to embargo Russian oil, buying discounted crude. Narendra Modi making the trip himself to the airport to greet Putin, a break with the usual protocol. They're talking about tie-ups in defense, their long-term partners, and also in the financial sector. For more, we turn to Kemi Knight from our business desk. Thanks for joining us, Kemi. Vladimir Putin able to have a display of how he's not isolated internationally.
That's right. And tonight it is more of an informal meeting, but the leaders will be sitting down to talk business. Tomorrow, Putin is seeking to expand defence production ties with India, including supplies of air defence systems and fighter jets. India, meanwhile, wants to reduce its own huge trade imbalance with Russia. But of course, the trip comes in the shadow of punitive US tariffs on New Delhi over its purchases of Russian oil. Jaimil Jameen takes a look at what's at stake.
Greeted with a Narendra Modi hug and a rolled-out red carpet, Russian President Vladimir Putin has landed in India for the first time since the start of the Ukraine war. He's hoping to boost economic ties between the countries as Russia is squeezed by sanctions.
We will discuss the economic agenda in detail during our upcoming visit to India with Prime Minister Narendra Modi, including increased imports of Indian goods to our market.
Modi himself is looking to balance trade between the two countries. In 2024 to 25, both nations reached $68.7 billion in bilateral trade. But India exports accounted for only $4.88 billion. Delhi has been pressuring Moscow for expanded market access in key industries, including pharmaceuticals, automobiles and the service sector. But India is also looking for reassurance after being hit by US tariffs for its dealings with Russia.
The tariff imposed on Russia, on India by USA has slightly, you know, unnerved us. Unnerved us in many ways because many of the traditional exporters are now out of job.
US President Donald Trump imposed 50% tariffs on Indian goods in August as a retaliation against the country for continuing to purchase discounted Russian oil. Delhi claims these imports are crucial to meeting the energy needs of its 1.4 billion people. Even so, its imports of Russian oil have dipped. As Moscow looks to shore up financing for its war in Ukraine, Putin and his delegation are hoping to bring these numbers back up, proposing deals on Russian energy and arms over the two-day visit.
Italian police has turned up the heat on some of the world's biggest fashion names, visiting the headquarters of 13 major brands and demanding detailed documents on how they run their companies and monitor their supply chains. Among those brands, Dolce & Gabbana, Versace, Prada, Ferragamo, you can see a full list of them on the screen there. Now, to be clear, none of these brands are under formal investigation, but prosecutors want to figure out whether their products were made by subcontractors that are accused of exploiting workers, many of them found in Chinese-owned workshops uncovered in earlier raids. It's part of a broader two-year investigation into Italy's luxury goods supply chain that's already seen five luxury groups placed under court monitoring. Once these 13 other companies hand over the requested documents, they'll be expected to fix any problems themselves, and if they don't, prosecutors say more action could follow. Meanwhile, Italy's government is pushing for a new Made in Italy certification, a legally backed label that would guarantee fair and transparent production and, of course, preserve its reputation. Meanwhile, as hundreds of New Zealanders queued up in Auckland this Thursday, some said they would have camped overnight if it hadn't been banned. It wasn't to see their favourite pop star, but to be among the first to walk into the country's new IKEA store. IKEA was founded more than 80 years ago and has more than 400 shops worldwide, but until today, not a single one in New Zealand. So the opening was a big moment, particularly as the country faces a serious cost of living crisis with low salaries and limited opportunities, pushing nearly 80,000 Kiwis towards foreign shores in the year to August, a record number for the nation of just over 5 million. The launch was such a big deal that even the country's prime minister was present to cut the ribbon. Christopher Luxon was meant to be the first customer, but a faster shopper beat him to the chase. Still, the Prime Minister has called IKEA's arrival a win for New Zealand. Let's hear from him.
It's it's been a long time coming, but obviously what it represents is really good foreign investment in New Zealand and also really great jobs, 540 new roles here. This is great for competition. This is really great for consumers across New Zealand. And actually you've seen other retailers welcome the move as well. And what it's all about is making sure that we have more competition so New Zealanders get better deals and their money goes further. And that's what this is about.
He even gave the meatballs a taste and gave them his stamp of approval.
All right, many thanks for that. Kemi Knight will be back with more business news later. It's back to Capital.